Thank you, Joe. Good song choices this morning. Because, once again, they go right in line with the lesson this morning, which is about, is your religion really yours? We'll make the point of answer that question here in just a little bit. But, you know, when I use the term religion, you know, I've told you about that T-shirt that Sharon bought me one day. It said Christianity, on the front it says Christianity is not a religion. And when she brought it home and showed it to me, I said, well, I can't wear that. But then she had me read the back of it. And on the back of it, it says, religion is man in attempt to reach up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man through his son. Now, I wear the shirt. I like wearing a shirt. I get a lot of responses from that shirt. And folks at the checkers at Walmart, well, I like your shirt. I said, you hadn't seen the back yet. And then the conversation begins. So I use the term religion, the word religion this morning in reference to Christianity. Is your religion, is your Christianity really yours, or is it based on some other foundation? You might think that may be odd to ask that question, but you know, religion is something we need to consider because it affects everything we do. It affects every day, not just the Lord's day, not just on Sunday. But your religion, your Christianity, in some way affects everything you do every day. The language that you have, the places that you go, the songs that you hum in your head, the things you will or won't watch on television. It's all affected by your Christianity. So it's important to know, is my Christianity really, does it really belong to me? Is it really my own? Or is it based on other things? For instance, some people's religion, their Christianity, is organizational. What I mean by that is they act and believe as their church teaches. It's not based on what's found in God's word, but what the church teaches. For instance, if they baptize infants in that body of believers, that's what they believe. They don't really bother to ask, why do we do that? But they simply go along with what that congregation, what that church teaches. And they'll tell you, well, if you can get my church to change, then I'll change. Sometimes they may even change churches, and they adapt to what now that new church teaches without ever asking why we do what we do or what authority we have to do the things that we do. So when religion or Christianity is based on organizational basis, it tends to lead us at times in the wrong direction. If the congregation is teaching something that's not in line with scriptures, but yet we believe what they teach us in that congregation, then we're going against what God's word actually says. Some churches seek to even convert people to their organization instead of converting them to the Lord or the doctrine of Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses, most often, will try and make efforts to convert folks to what they teach and what they believe, their doctrine. They are notorious for not converting folks to Christ. Folks, we need to be converted to Christ. If we're converted to anything at all from this world, we need to be converted to the Son of God, His doctrine. It's about what God says. It's about what His Son taught, still teaches through Scripture. Christianity, if it's right, turn with me to chapter 20. It's the passage that Jared read this morning. John chapter 20 at verse 30. Christianity requires every individual one of us to have our own belief system. Not just on, if you're here this morning and you believe what you believe because it's taught from this pulpit or it's taught in Bible class, and that's your foundation, that's okay. But how do you know if what you're being taught is right or not? You just trust me and old Joe to tell you the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God, and you take it for that. That might not be the best decision you could make. We're going to do our best to do that. He will and I will. But as times have proven in the past, sometimes I don't know about Joe, but sometimes I misquote things. As the politicians say, I misspoke. Sometimes it happens. I had a brother come to me one day and said, you said in John 3:16 that those who believe in Jesus shall be saved. You know that's not right. And I said, brother, if I said that, I am truly sorry, because the word should be saved instead of shall be saved. Well, that's a difference there. But if you just believe what you believe based on that's what you've heard someone teach you, that's no different than maybe an organizational belief. Look what it says in John chapter 20 at verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The you there is inferred the individual, not the group, not the church, not the mass of those gathered, but the one reading, the individual reading that verse, you, each individual one of us. There's another place I want you to go to. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2, you're probably well familiar with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We talk about it a lot. When the men who heard Peter preach on that Pentecost in the first century in Jerusalem, and he told them what they had done to the Son of God, they had crucified him, and this one you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ, they responded positively, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And we know what Peter told them, but I want you to pay attention just to a couple of words. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, some of your translations will say each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you. We're understanding then that means each individual one must make that same decision for baptism, etc. So Christianity is an individual religion. It's an individual choice. It's an individual lifestyle. It's basically individual. It just so happens that God has given us the ability for all the individuals who are Christians and followers of Christ to come together on the Lord's Day to worship him in group or in mass. I don't mean that in the Catholic sense, in the assembly. But it's an individual religion. Some folks' religion is founded on family. And I'm not just talking about those in denominations or those in other congregations of different kind of Christian religions. Even in the Lord's body, in the Lord's church. There are many in the Lord's church today whose religion is based on family. Back during the Civil War days, old Uncle Jim Bob and great-grand-grand-granddaddy, well, he voted Democrat, and that's what we all do today. Kind of like religion. Kind of like politics. Back in that same time period, old great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy Amos, he joined the Church of Christ, and that's what we all do today. Is that a really, really reliable reason to be in a member of any congregation of believers? I'm not talking against the Lord's church. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that if you're a member of the Lord's church because great, 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 great granddaddy in the Civil War joined the Church of Christ or became a member of the Lord's church, and that's the reason you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to think about that. You're in the right body, but for the wrong reason. It's about God. It's about his Son. It's about obeying him, not what great-great-great-great-granddaddy did. Doesn't make any difference what he did. Although we're glad he was a member of the Lord's body. Somebody down in that generational line a long time ago made a decision on their own to become a member of the Lord's body, to be obedient to Christ. And that's what every one of us must do. It can't be about family. The problem with that is that if I'm just a member of the Lord's church because that's what my mom or dad was, and that's where I grew up, what happens when I come across a situation I need to make a Bible-based decision on? Can I really do that independently on my own? Or am I going to go back over and see what mom and dad say and take their word for it and make that decision that they made? Folks, it happens all the time. Not just in the Lord's body, but in all denominations, in all gatherings of people who quote-unquote worship God. Some are in there because that's where mom and dad are. It's a good place to be if you're in the Lord's body. but sometimes can be the wrong reason. I tell you that based on Judges chapter 2. Let's go back in the Old Testament just for a second. Judges chapter 2. At verse 8. Judges chapter 2. I'll give you a minute to find it. I don't hear very many pages turning. Judges chapter 2 and verse 8. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the mountain Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, when all that generation died, passed away, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now, if your religion is based on grandma and grandpa or mom and dad, and they happen not to be members of the church, the Lord's body, or they happen not to go really to any worship service, and they just don't participate in worship of God. They don't participate in a denominational worship or in the Lord's body. And you base your religion on them, is that any different than basing your religion on where they are because they do worship? It's the same difference. Basing our religion on our forefathers, no matter who they are, is the wrong decision. It must be individual. Back to what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's an individual decision to either become obedient to the gospel or not. And we do it because our own heart has been touched with the message. Our own heart has been pricked with the gospel. That's why we do it. Many people's religion is based on social relationships. We once worked for a fella who, when he went to a worship service at all, he went to the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall. His wife grew up in that particular organization, and that's where he went. Because he found out, a little after we began to understand his reasoning, he found out that a lot of the upper mucky mucks in the town where they lived went there. And his religion was based on that social connection between the folks that might be able to connect him or do him some good down the road. We went once with them, and that was about enough. But that's the wrong reason to be a member of any religious body, whether it be the Lord's church or not. But he was basing his religion on loyalty that he could build with the folks who were there, not based on what he knew or didn't know about the Son of God. When we do that, we're no better than a cult, no better than an organization that meets for other reasons. You could just name a reason to meet and be a part and just go to that particular organization for whatever reason. Sometimes cults even use that social pressure to bring their members in line. Folks like to be liked. They want to be accepted. We're no different. We all want to be accepted. No, we don't want anyone to not like us, the majority of us. There are some folks who I think really don't care if folks like them or not. But by and large, we all want to be liked and accepted. And sometimes folks will join a group of folks in a cult-type situation. A lot of people say that about you, that you're just a member of a cult. And it's a whole other lesson, I guess. But cults, true cults, use that pressure, that socialized pressure, to keep their folks in line because they do want to be accepted. Sometimes folks obey the steps of the gospel, you see, without really making it personal. That's the whole reason for this lesson. If you've ever obeyed the gospel and you didn't make that a personal decision, then really, really give that some strong thought, some strong pondering, some strong consideration, because if your religion is not yours, individually yours, if it's based on somebody else's teaching or somebody else's thoughts or based on just what you've heard someone teach and not a truly personal relationship with God, with His Son, then your religion, your Christianity is severely lacking. You see, we can go through all the motions. We can go through, we can be the visually, physically visually, one of the most perfect Christians in creation, as perceived by other folks. We do all the right things. We say all the right things. We go all the right places. We're always in the building. When the assembly gathers, we're always there. But if there's a lacking of a personal relationship with Christ, what good is it? You might as well be on the fishing bank. Without that personal relationship with the Son of God, what did Jesus say? And no one comes to the Father but by me. That's a personal relationship. That's a joining of relationship between you individually and the Son of God. And if that relationship's not there, your Christianity is severely lacking. The chances of going to heaven through the Son of God are about zero if you don't have that personal relationship. I hope you see that. Can't say it much of any other way. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. That ought to speak loud to every one of us individually. That's examine yourselves, he said to a group, or he wrote to a group of folks in the Corinthian church. But understandingly, we know that he meant that individually. Each one of them should examine themselves to see if they were really in the faith. Test yourselves, he said. Do you not know that yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you have believed in vain? And I'm afraid a lot of folks, this day and time even, continue that believing in vain without that personal relationship with Christ. And it must be that personal relationship. Is the faith that you have really yours? Is the faith that you have really based on your relationship with Christ? Can you count on your relationship with Christ to carry you through this life? Can you look at both sides of an issue and make your own decision based on what you know God's Word says? Or take the time to really dig into the Word and see what He says, not just based on what someone else says. If that's your Christianity, if you've been working on this premise that that's an okay religion or an okay Christianity because something we've said this morning, it describes your relationship based on family, based on socializing, based on organizational thoughts and teachings, not based on a relationship with Christ. If you don't feel like you've got a one-on-one relationship with Christ, then you might want to recommit your life this morning. If you're not a Christian, then you certainly might want to consider committing yourself to Christ, to condition yourself to have that relationship with Him from this day forward, one-on-one, so that one day you too might enter that kingdom of heaven with all the rest of the saints from all the ages who have done the same thing. It's your decision to make, whether it's a recommitting of your life or whether it's a committing of your life. But one thing I know, that without that relationship with Christ, without that correct relationship, one-on-one, with the Son of God, entry into heaven does not exist. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And he was serious. So if you need to make an adjustment in your Christianity this morning, if you need to make an adjustment in your life to Christianity, then do it now. We urge you while we stand together and while we sing.